This week on the Push Relays podcast, we talk about how many events actually are there in the Olympics. How is Adam Peaty eating 8,000 calories? We answer a bunch of questions from Peaty Caught Alive and some protein pancakes to try.
And three, two, one. Have you watched Space Jam yet, Dan?
Hey guys, welcome to the Push Four Legs podcast with myself, Damik.
And me, Tom Hawks, kind of.
I'm not. I don't think I'm going to because, do you know, I don't like the look of it from the trailer. That sounds bad, but I don't think you can beat the first one. I just don't think the first one can be beaten.
Like, it might be some young bucks listening to this show or some people as old as us, hard to believe. And the first one is iconic. Did you used to have the game as well? I used to have the game on the old PS1, PlayStation 1. Yes, those existed. That was fun. Enjoy that game.
It was one of those where I just don't think it's going to be as good. And I don't want it to be like a letdown, and I just think it will be. Like, I've seen the trailers, and it's like, you know, go get our son for us or something. And it's just like, oh, come on, like, really, like, it's just going to be like, well, you know what's going to happen. Like, I think that's the thing with these ones. You kind of know what's going to happen. Like, all's going to be well in the end, isn't it? They're going to win. Brilliant. Like, whereas the first one, it's a bit more like, well,
I don't know,
it's a bit new, and you just know it's going to be the same. But, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I just haven't bothered going to see it. I could take Isabel to go and watch it, but she wouldn't sit still throughout it, probably.
No.
But yeah, it's. I haven't been to cinema for fucking ages, to be fair. Like, even before COVID, like probably a year or 2 years before that, I probably hadn't. Last time I went, in fact, it might have been fucking with you, probably. That would have been that long ago. It would have been like watch Star Wars or something stupid like that. I can't remember. I literally can't remember last time.
I haven't been since they've reopened, but me and Chloe would tend to go. It's just quite a nice thing to go, like, to the Everyman.
We watched Star Wars in Bath, didn't we? That might have been the last time I went.
I watched that for the second time with Dan. So I'd already watched it before.
Yeah, you had.
I was like, of course I'll see it again. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
No, I was trying to think the last thing that we, like, me and Chloe saw. I think it was something like The Lion King, when it did like the real lifey animation one. It was terrible. Really, really bad. And then, I've seen a bunch of stuff. What was it, like the summer thing, Quentin Tarantino, that kind of thing, about the other side of Charles Manson. Obviously saw Joker when that was out. That was amazing. It was good. That's a weird film. Chloe hated it. She was like, it was just sad the whole way through. I was like, yeah. The becoming of Joker is not a fun story, I'm guessing. She was just like, you're just waiting for something good to happen, like the hero to come in, and then it just never does. Yeah, which is quite a depressing thing when you're waiting for that to happen. Imagine just a superhero movie, but just with no superheroes in it, and just all the bad stuff just happens. Weird. Quite depressing. Anyway, mate, Dan's on holiday, so he's graced us with his presence. He's coming from a really sunny place on the coast, I believe. You've hit the beach. You've done a little surfing in the morning, all that. No, he's living the online trainer life with his family. Yeah. Like a
in
good
California.
Dad.
Just stayed put.
A little staycation, as it's called. I try to do at least one of those a year. It's interesting. I don't know. I always look forward to it more than I do, like, enjoy it, I think. But it's always
again, it sounds bad, but it's not pleasurable. Like, as bad as it sounds, it's not. I needed a break from like client work and like the relentless nature of that side of things, and just the everyday job, because it's been 18 months, like literally since COVID, like since we've taken a bit of a break, Christmas obviously. But it's just that relentless nature of people being at people's beck and call, which again I'm fine with, but you know what you're getting yourself into. But we said before we came on, like, I need that change of scenery though for me. Like, I need to be in a different space, and I need that, because when you're in your own house, you have things that subconsciously, unconsciously remind you of work or your routine or doing things, or you should be doing this, should be doing that. And you just never really settle, as much as if I was at Centre Park or something, I'd be able to just be like, yeah, I'm going for a nap at 3 o'clock. Why wouldn't I? I'm on holiday. Whereas at home, it's like, well, that doesn't really happen. And those sorts of things. And it's just the case of I needed to take holiday because I was just fucking knackered. But I don't feel as recuperated as I think I would if I had a week away somewhere. But yeah, we can't really do that. And again, at the short notice, I wanted to take my holiday. I couldn't really book anywhere. And Laura's still got her classes and all that sort of stuff. Obviously, we didn't know where we were going to be with COVID and stuff. So it was like, well, we'll just stay put. So I've been to the gym. Like, I've done a few little things and all that sort of stuff. It's just nice to slow down and all that. But yeah, it doesn't, if that's why I did the podcast, I was like, well, I'm here, I'm not doing anything else, like chatting to you, and it's not like it's full on work or anything. So yeah, it's all good, isn't it?
That's full on work, mate. Well, we'll see what we do in the back end of the week. It'd be crazy.
That's it. Well, I'm traveling to Laura's parents on Thursday, so I mean that's a change of scenery. That'd be different. Again, I won't take my computer with me. I don't need to. So there you go. Maybe that'd be my little break that I need.
Lovely. Well, I am, as everybody knows, officially finished filming everything for PT Core.
Officially done.
Not really done, because I've still got design briefs to do. I've still got a lot of admin stuff to do. I still need to finalize the examination process, you lucky people that are on it, because that has to be kind of watertight, because as we said and we confirmed, you will be able to, and we, this is from partnerships, we will strike up with gyms, hopefully, but be able to become a personal trainer, insured personal trainer, from doing the PT Core. You don't actually have to do the level 2, level 3 if you don't really want to. So obviously there's still going to be a governmental standard. We could try and boost that up and try and get people level 3, because we might be able to cut some corners and just put some anatomy stuff in there. Because I tend to not, we don't talk about anatomy because there's a prerequisite kind of, we kind of think that most people should know a basic of anatomy. I don't go into crazy detail. I do more anatomical motions, as Dan knows. I hate you don't know the name of that muscle. And I'm like, yeah, but I know what it does and where it goes and why it moves that way. So do I really need to know where my supraspinatus exactly is and the origin and insertion? Probably not. I've got an okay so far. So yeah, I hated that in my degree, where we had to do those vivas, and you literally just had three cards in front of you. Like, it's an upper limb viva. And it'd be like, all right, you've either got, like, it's either the shoulder, the elbow, or the wrists, or like the shoulder girdle. Just one card. Like, you pick the joint. You have to talk about all the joint, every like little attachment, little muscle tissue, whatever. And then you had like a muscular thing. So all the muscles around it, you have to name. You just picked up a card. And then you picked up another card and you just had to say all of, like, the soft tissue, ligaments and joints and where they were. That was an awful thing. Awful. Hated it. Just everybody there and people. I said this in one of my workshops. I was like, I failed my first anatomy and physiology exams. Because, yeah, even though I literally lecture on it now and people are like, how do you know that? I was like, because I failed. And I was like, fuck, I need to learn this now. I can't just ride and die. So, yeah, exactly. It's very crazy. Did you have any of that for your degree?
Yeah, we had that sort of side of stuff. And I think people put far too much pressure on themselves to know that side of things. Like we've talked about before, we see a lot of people in the industry trying to upskill, and they upskill in wanting to know more about the human body. And it's like, you're probably better off focusing on the human brain. Like, think about that. Once you've got a good knowledge of movement and things like that, like, you know, like we've said, you've got a better understanding of some rehab things and joints and stuff than I have. That's why I refer people to you when they've got problems that I can't really help with from a distance. But even if it was in person, you'd still know more than me with the tests and know what to look for. But likewise, if I was in that environment around it all the time, I'd probably be able to pick it up and actually remember stuff, and, you know, those sorts of things, because I don't do it on a daily basis. And I think that it's worth remembering that as long as you understand the reasoning behind why certain movements, exercises benefit certain people based on the movements that they perform every day, and whether they're sporty or whatever, you know enough. You don't need to know whether it's the gastrocnemius or the soleus or whatever. Like, I still don't know the fucking, like, the exact difference between the two. One's under one, one's over two. It's the calf. Fuck off, right? Train your calf, right? It's like that sort of stuff where people just take it to the extreme. And they really think that certain exercises can target the VMO and the, you know, all that sort of stuff. And you're like, just train your quads through a variety of movements and you're probably going to be okay. Like, you know, and it's that whole thing of like, we've done all right so far, like not worrying about
getting
it.
Getting my VMO pumped. That is like absolute bodybuilding language. Enjoy that.
I've got to do leg extensions for the VMO. Got to do leg extensions for the VMO.
Of course. Doesn't go on otherwise, not.
Doesn't work. Doesn't do anything else. Yeah.
we've gone far too knowledgeable and helpful in the first 10 minutes than we've ever done in any other podcast, Dan. So we've got to bring that back. So we'll keep to the topics that I've already written because these are far more interesting than actual fitness. We will be going through, because obviously the Olympics are here. So we've got to talk a bit of Olympics for the next 3 weeks, haven't we?
Right. I was going to get up the list, wasn't I?
Yeah, I think I did a little Google as well, but me and Dan are going to rant and expleet about how many fucking events there are in the Olympics.
Stupid.
I don't understand. All right, obviously, all of the people that are there, most of the people that are there, because obviously there is, and hats off to the Olympic federations, they do encourage like smaller nations that don't have the people that are recognized into the qualifying standards to come in. That's how, like, remember Eric the Eel back in the year 2000, he was like, but he ended up getting a lot better at swimming because he got that exposure over, and then they were able to get funding from the Olympic Association, all that kind of stuff. So super positive things, but there's so many events.
That's not what this is about, though, is it? Yeah, that's not what this is.
This is like, all right, when's free versus free basketball on not even a half court? That's not a half court, is it? That what they've got? They've made it up.
Right, I think that.
And the point system's different. I don't understand why they've changed it. It's still 1 point difference.
Yeah, it's ones and twos, isn't it? Like, with this, I think that with the Olympics, the Olympics should only have events in them that don't have a bigger like team like competition. Basketball, no. The NBA is bigger. Like the World Championships basketball is bigger than the Olympics. Like players will care more about playing in the NBA than playing in the Olympics. That's a fact, right? So that shouldn't be in there. Obviously, athletics, huge one. You know, even things like artistic gymnastics, artistic swimming, I'm actually not bothered about because there's nowhere else they're going to perform. I can't imagine that it's going to be on a world stage that we're going to sit down and watch artistic gymnastics at any other time, right? So yeah. I kind of am okay with that.
Oh, yeah, they're fine. Yeah.
Baseball, softball. No, just no with that one. Basketball, I'm a big basketball fan. No, shouldn't be there. Beach volleyball, questionable, in my opinion. Questionable. It's actually, funny enough, a lot of the Olympic stuff is it's a lot of the team sports I disagree with. A lot of the team sports. I think it's a very much should be more individual events. Like again, like boxing, not actually that fussed about. I think boxing's all right. I think that maybe could be something, but it's still bigger on a world stage.
That's the grey thing though, isn't it? Like about boxing, because the boxing thing is like you have to be an amateur to box there, right? You cannot be a professional. You have to be an amateur. Yeah, like in football's there, for example. I don't think all of those are amateurs. I think they're all on tidy sums. So not and then like then, I love golf, right? Love golf. That's got no need there. To be there. It's got no,
should never
no
be
point.
There. I'm sorry. But like so there's some of them here, like so like basically because you've got the track cycling, right? Which is again in a velodrome, track cycling, all for it. Road cycling, I don't know where that sits for me, but anyway.
I don't mind the road cycling.
Then we've got mountain biking, BMX racing, BMX freestyle. No. No, just no. Like, no. Sorry, no. Like, just no. And then, where else have we got? Diving, yes. Equestrian, again, probably. Fencing, football, no. Golf, no. Handball, is there a big... Probably not.
There's like, a big handball scene. Like, it's only, like, Europe, Norway, Sweden, and, like... It's all the, like, those... Scandi countries that play it, basically. That's
I don't think that. I don't think that should be there. Arguably, hockey shouldn't be there. Like, I just don't
think
it should
hockey
be
should be there. Hockey should be there, shouldn't it? No. When what
Again,
that, on your premise
it's the team
of
team sport thing for me?
Yeah, but your it's premise of there should be a there if there's a bigger event going on. I don't think the World Championship of hockey gets more coverage than the Olympics.
Possibly
hockey.
Not. Okay, we'll let you off of that one then. All right then. Judo, karate, all okay with that. Marathon swimming. I mean, who the fuck wants to do that? But yeah, fine.
That sounds painful as hell. Jesus.
Yeah. Modern pentathlon, fine. Rhythmic gymnastics, whatever. Rowing, yes. Rugby sevens, no.
Rugby sevens is funny. Sailing, I don't really understand it. Sailing's a weird shooting. One, isn't it? Because it's always like, oh, we're going over. Like, remember, it's like sailing when it was here. It's like, yeah, the Olympics in London. Now let's go to Cornwall. What? Wait, wait, no. Yeah. Weird, if you can't do it there, like, surely it should be.
And then
be
you've got shooting. I think that's been a, I think that's been a game in the Olympics for a long time. So you've got to leave
that's
that.
That's been
in
a long time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Skateboarding? No.
I like the shooting because it's always like a 60-year-old, like, old lad that wins it. And he's like, yeah, I'm an Olympic champion.
Right. Then you've got sport climbing. No. Sports climbing, no, just no.
Oh, that's a new one though, isn't it? Like, I'm interested to see that. I think that's going to get some big hype throughout this. I think that will be a big one by the end. I'm for that one because it's interesting. I'm not too. I think,
I mean, it's individual sport and it doesn't get exposure elsewhere, I suppose. But I mean, surfing.
Surfing's a weird one, isn't it?
It's a bit, isn't it? And then you got swimming. Obviously, that's fine. Table tennis, fine. Taekwondo, tennis. Have you? I'm
tennis,
not sure about.
I feel like
I don't think so.
If these sports, so the tennis, the golf, the football, they should do it true amateurs or true like youth teams. Basically, that's the only
way.
Then
what would happen
is,
but then what happened if people would stay amateur? If they got an Olympics coming up, they'll just stay amateur. And it's like, well, no, you're still too good, or like. To be an amateur,
they won't.
You know, I don't know.
They won't though, because they'll need them. They want the money. They need the money.
Yeah.
They just won't. Yeah. And if it's different a year, then I get it. But
yeah. And then after that, you've got the triathlon, volleyball, water polo, weightlifting, wrestling. Fine with all those. There's not that many that I would disagree with, but it's just more like these new ones. It's a bit like, do we really need two types of fucking basketball? No, we don't need any of basketball. Get it out of there. Baseball. We don't need baseball. Let's just cut it out of there. Like,
why is there softball as well? I never understood the difference between baseball and softball. I realized the ball's bigger and like the bat.
I don't want to sound really, really sexist now, but is it male and female?
It is male and female, correct.
Is it the males do baseball and females do softball?
Softball, yeah.
Yeah.
But I would reckon that most of the females can probably hit a baseball. Just putting it out
there. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So I don't understand why they need a bigger soft ball.
I don't get it. Why. And that is the only difference. They throw underarm.
They throw
with a big
underarm.
Ball. Like, I don't get the difference. I don't get it. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows about that one? But yeah, I don't know. I just think, at what point are they going to stop adding events to the Olympics? Do you know? Like, how many are they going to be soon?
Do they take them out, though?
I assume they must take some out because otherwise it's just going to get. Fucking 4-week event rather than 2 weeks, isn't it?
Well, I thought it was three.
Or however long it is, do you know? I like the traditional athletics of the Olympics. I do enjoy that. I do genuinely like that. I just think that there's some of it. It's a bit much. Some of the events, really, like watching USA basketball. Don't need it. Don't need it.
Then when you flick something on and it's just on and you're like, am I really watching? Like I had like badminton on, like just randomly because you could select it. I'm like, nobody wants to watch badminton today. I don't think so.
Not really. I mean, it's quite quick. It's quite a quick sport.
Great. If that's what I'm looking for from sports, then I've watched 100 meters. It's got more hype to it.
Mate, saying that, they fucking televised the London Marathon. So do you know what I mean? I think anything's fair
game.
Yeah,
for all the funny costumes, basically. And see
no,
all
the fucking professional ones, you knob.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, the ones that run around in the morning. And then, like, I used to live on that route, like, about mile 12, 13. And we'd always get confused when they were just like, oh, there's a bunch of, oh, there we go. Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. Well, they're quick. Where are they sprinting to?
Where are they going?
Mile 20.
I always thought it was funny because obviously it's hugely credible that the people do the London Marathon and the people that don't train for it still do it. But I would walk to the gym on that day and I would walk from like my place along the Thames down to Tower Bridge. I'm pretty sure I beat some of the people in that mile, like 12 to kind of 14 walking to the gym. I was like,
oh, God.
Are they going to run past me? No? Okay. Good.
So
I thought it was funny. Jesus, my 2 mile,
so
quicker than their 22 to 24 mile.
Yeah,
just saying, I would never be able to do a marathon. I'd hate it. John Clark, hats off. If somebody doesn't know John Clark, the Bending Barber, I believe he is marathon number 20.
At John Clark now. He's not Bending Barber.
Is he not Bending Barber?
It's John Clark.
Yeah. What a loser.
I think because he was doing 48 marathons, he kind of felt like it was a bit weird.
Yeah. I haven't touched a barbell in weeks. Right. He's gone from ultra competitive strongman to an ultra marathon runner. I mean, pretty cool. We'll talk about this, amazing feats, basically, amazing feats of athletics. But yeah, John Clark is running the 48 marathons in 48 days, I believe, in every single county.
Yeah.
I think it's what he's doing. It's a for charity, I assume.
Miles for Meals. He's doing it to raise money for child poverty.
Okay.
Cool. And he's done 23, marathon 23, day 23 now. 23. For those of you who don't know John Clark, go and give him a follow. I think he's had loads of new followers and things like that on his page.
Yeah, of course. Loads of coverage.
The guy is a machine. Like, he's an absolute machine. And he's when he first said he was going to do it, I asked him. I was like, mate, that is ridiculous. Like, ridiculous. And he got mocked in like the marathon world and all this sort of stuff, because they were saying like, you'll never do it and all this sort of stuff. And then he did his first one. I think he did it in like 6 hours or something. Again, the goal isn't to fucking make every single one really quick. It's just to do it. They were like mocking him, saying, oh, it's not even a real marathon. It's 6 hours and all this sort of shit. And it was just like, really? Like, are you really going to have a go at me for that kind of thing? So he's had a bit of hate from like that sort of crowd, but
insane.
Like to do that. I sort of asked him before. I was like, that's mental kind of thing. And he was like, yeah, that's why I want to do it. It's like, because people say to me, I can't do it. Because those people in the, you know, marathon runners were like, you'll never do that. Like, don't disrespect the distance. Don't disrespect it or whatever. He's like, I'm going to do it. And he's that kind of guy. Like, I'd have given up on marathon one. Like, but like, he's just that kind of guy that he'll just get around it and he'll just do it. And
so you know, I remember working with him and, so he was my coach for some time, and then he was trying to get to 400 kilo, wasn't he? Deadlift, and he nailed that, and it was like, oh, he's strong.
Yeah, I think the thing with him is that he's done a 400 kilo deadlift, and he's also got two world records for being on a ski erg. Remember, he did the 24-hour ski erg.
I don't think he holds them anymore.
Like, he doesn't hold it anymore, but he got the world record.
Yeah.
And he did that, and then this is the 48. It's ridiculous, genuinely ridiculous. He's already lost loads of weight.
I bet.
If you look at his pictures, he's just like losing weight real quick.
There you go. If anybody wants to lose weight quick, go for it. We'll talk about nutrition in a bit, but there's another chap, I think today, I don't know what his name is, but he did the first, he's just proving the world of like, oh, you can't do endurance and strength like training all the same time, you do them hindering. It's like this lad did he's the first man to do the 500 and something else. It's a 550 or something like that. So he did a powerlifting total, like well over like 500 kilos or something, or like 560, 600 kilos, something like that. And then he went and did, so he had to do it in one day. And then he went and did an ultra triathlon. Just off straight afterwards.
As you do.
Apparently set the world record for that, for doing a 500 over a 500 total on a powerlifting thing and then straight into a triathlon or ultra mega whatever triathlon.
I think those limits of what people think is achievable is just like, it's so out there. We don't know what the limits are to some degree with that sort of stuff. But I think as well with that, I think the problem that I see a lot in fitness is because it's so black and white, and it's so you either a strong man or you're endurance or you're one or the other. And there's this it's like when people say you can't lose body fat and gain muscle at the same time. I'm like, you can. I've seen it happen time and time again. Like, I've seen it happen. And it's people always go, you've got to go one or the other. And yes, it may not be as efficient trying to do both and all this sort of stuff. But like one thing that I found from doing more cardio, which I always said I hated, right? I was like, I hate cardio. I don't hate it. I just sucked at it. And actually now the more I do it, the better I feel, the healthier I feel. But not only that, the better I'm now lifting and the quicker I'm recovering from in between sets and stuff like this. And I think that for so long, we try and go in one camp or another. We bash another camp or all this sort of stuff. And I think that for me, I will always now probably do a bit of everything, a bit of strength, a bit of hypertrophy, bit of cardio, you know, stuff like that. because I know that they complement each other. I know that. And I know that if I want to be able to play sport and do things and all that sort of stuff into my late 30s, it's going to be soon. Then I'll need to be able to do that sort of stuff, and I'll need to be able to have a good base.
Need to play golf, because Phil Mickelson's still winning majors at the age of like 51, 52, mate. So that's why we play golf. Yeah.
If I start taking up golf now, I'll be there surely in 20 years. Can't be hard.
Exactly. Got 20 years to get better. Exactly. All right, mate. Yeah, Olympics, crazy. But we're going to come back to that kind of eating thing, because we can talk about a little massive typo. Adam Peaty with 8,000 calories in his meal. So not a typo. 8,000 calories.
8,000 calorie meal.
Not meal, sorry. Days.
Day. Oh, right.
A little bit better. But yeah, apparently that's what he eats. So I'd like from Captain Nutrition.
Is he a cyclist or a swimmer?
He's a swimmer. He's the fucking god of swimming.
Is he married to a cyclist? He's married to a cyclist, though, is he? His missus is a cyclist, I'm sure.
I'm not too sure, actually. No.
Yeah, I think something like that.
Not too sure. We'll have a look. But yeah, we've got some protein things. We went a bit nuts.
We have, haven't we?
So, yeah, when...
Well, we got the protein pancakes, didn't we?
We've got the pancakes, and then we went a bit nuts on some other stuff, because basically on protein pick and mix, it was 50 quid. You get free delivery. So I had to go over that. And then I put like a discount code on, and it took me under £50. And then I was like, oh, now I have to pay delivery. So it's pointless having this code on. So I have to boost up a little bit. So yeah, we're going to do some protein pancakes, because I had one and Dan did not have any. I think as a whole, they were actually reasonable, and it's good macros. So if anybody can't stomach having just like yogurt and berries every morning, you could have one of these with some yogurt and berries.
Yeah. If you're fucking minted. So I've got the vanilla protein.
You're gonna
pancakes.
Go vanilla. What one would you like me to try, Daniel?
Peach.
I knew you were gonna say that.
They do have a soft texture of a pancake.
Peach. Go right into it. Get all the goo.
Yeah.
Because as a pancake, it is, I would say, slightly dry, and you want like. So remember those pancakes that like NFF you'd have when you like dip them in the yogurt? I feel like that is what you need to do with these. But as a proteiny pancake goes, it's not too bad, I feel. Dan's looking questionable. I'm going for the big goo or the peach.
I'm going to throw it out there and say that if you gave me a pancake and you gave me that, I wouldn't know the difference.
There we go. It's not too
bad. It's even been that long since I've had pancakes. but pancakes in by nature are quite dry. You have to have fuckloads of maple syrup and bacon with them, right?
Yeah.
So, I think they do a very good job, actually. Again, £2, whatever it was, 30 for one, it's a bit excessive. I'm not going to lie to you, because it is just two pancakes with a bit of cream in the middle. Not very vanilla-y, I have to say, but that's not the point. It's not more than moist. You need something moist with the pancakes. But I'm impressed in a weird way.
Yeah.
Would I eat it as a snack? Probably,
I
actually.
I feel I have. I've had it as like a little post when I know my...
I just feel like I need something moist with it, though.
Yeah, you need... I feel like I need some
bit
yogurt.
Some yogurt
to dip in. So I feel like that is a good little dessert throughout the week. Healthy dessert, whatever. Mm. If you know your meal hasn't had some protein in it, then you crack one of these with some natural yogurt, or you have it as breakfast. I think that's the way to go with it. And Daniel, I've bitten into this peach one. Not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It's good to know. I think this is the first one that I've eaten all of, the whole thing, for a while, to be fair. So should say something.
And they are commercially available with my mouthful.
I like it. I'm happy. They're up there. They're up there.
They're good, aren't they?
I'd take that over a carb killer bar. Taking that over a carb killer bar.
There you go. Definitely. And the packaging just looks like they've ripped off Bear Bells. The blueberry one's apparently a limited edition. So we're lucky we've got that.
Track that.
Just because blueberry pancakes are obviously limited, don't they? They're not very common.
They've never seen that.
What an outrage. We've got some fun ones to try, though. Have they got, like, used by dates? By dates, whatever it is?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. Yeah, they haven't. Expiry. Oh, we've got ages. We've got till December.
Christmas Eve. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's another Pronus, because they're probably like better than some of the boutique ones we've had, and they keep like about a week. We keep forever. So that's pretty good.
I have to say, they are very good. I would recommend them. I would recommend them. Like, if you're dieting, quite severely, and you want something nice and sweet, like if you had that with a bit of Halo Top, you are going to love us after you've tried that, I think. I know a lot of people have like carb killer bars as a dessert, heated up with Halo Top and stuff. That would do just the same thing.
And less calories. And probably similar, within 4 grams of the same protein content. So,
impressive.
Yeah, you're saving yourself from a carb killer. What are they, like 220?
Yeah, about that.
220, and that's 130.
8 grams of fat in that as well in carb killer, whereas this is only 3, isn't it?
Only 3. Light.
I think it was.
Light, mate. I've heard various things, like obviously, like about like there's like.
I kind of want to try this Wow donut as well, though.
Do you? Go on, little treat. Daniel's gonna try a donut. Just because you were like, oh, I got donuts.
Well, it's just these two protein donuts, and like usually they're not great protein donuts.
Are they not?
No. No. Oh. I don't get it. It's got a fucking. Do not eat packet stuck to the fucking donut. Oh God, this smells American. Yeah, it's American, baked in the US. Yeah. It's called cake batter and it smells just like birthday cake.
Okay. Which we like, right? We generally like birthday cake bars, and birthday cake things are normally quite tasty. So, but then it is going to be stacking up against the other birthday cake things we've had.
Okay, I mean, that's good.
Is it good? Wow, really?
It's not amazing, but it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Mm. Where the only problem with this one,
the only problem here is you've got 11 grams of protein for 130 calories, so it's not great.
So it's the same calories as the pancake, but five grams down. In the grand scheme of things, that's nearly 50% essentially.
But again, as a little dessert, you know, I bet it's nice warmed up with a bit of Halo Top.
Obsessed with a little bit of Halo Top. I'm just gonna buy you Halo Top.
Again, it's a bit moist. It's not like too dry, you know.
Good. That's good.
I'm probably gonna finish all that right now because I'm annoying. But I'm gonna eat the rest of it though.
Nice.
That's all right, you know. It's all right. That.
No treats for Laura today. Wow. We got a bunch of goodies as well. It's quite nice. So I'm excited to try my we'll try it probably next week. It's my oatmeal protein awesome apple pie. But I'll sneak peek, the macros are not great. They're playing fast and loose with the word protein.
We go. On my first day of tracking, 190 grams of protein, 2,100 calories in the bag. Done.
Wow. Are you done for the night? Done for the day?
Yeah.
No more.
That includes as well. That includes two full sugar Dr. Peppers, those protein bars. And my dinner was 1,000 calories Chinese. Made it ourselves at home, to be fair, so I know the calories in it, but still. Just shows it can be done. But yeah, I'm backtracking. And I'm using NutriCheck, which is a hell of a lot fucking easier than my fitness pal, by the way, if anyone
cares. Oh, really?
Yep. Less adverts. I don't know if you have to pay for it. I don't know. I think I've got a free version for a little bit, but it's good because you can set a protein and calorie target rather than protein, carbs and fats. So you just focus on protein and calories or something like that. It's quite easy. A lot more user-friendly to me anyway. And the other thing as well is once you search for something, it comes up with pictures of it.
Ooh, that's nice.
So like if you are scanning something, you know, it's like the right thing. So look at that M&S char grilled like calamari rings. So, you know, if you were like looking for something, you'd know that that's what the that's it that. Corresponds to, yeah. Which I quite like. That's quite smart.
That's smart. Yeah.
But yeah. There you go. Just if anyone gives a shit.
We're always looking for that, aren't we? My Fitness Pal, I feel have like a monopoly on the kind of the tracking. Everybody uses it, right? Literally yeah. have videos of knowing how to do it. But we do have that in our PT Core. It's like a list of apps and stuff that we like people to download. So beautiful. Beautiful. All right, protein done. Right, we're just going to briefly get Daniel's opinion before we get into his thing of how to get 8,000 calories in you and what you actually have to do, apparently, Olympians, to eat that kind of fuel. But there was some questions. I'm going to pick out one question that was given to me on Instagram, and then I'd like to just dip into just to see if Dan's opinion on some of the lives. Because obviously, every 2 weeks, those lucky people on our supportive learning program get to just talk shop with me and or Luke every week. It's always good fun. Always good fun. Obviously, we had more people on this week because I had a go at everybody on the last podcast. They're not turning up.
Oh, well, there you go. Funny how that works out.
We're like, I feel attacked. I was like, no. I don't want you to feel attacked. I just want you to take advantage of something you've already paid for. And guess what? If you watching a live back is not as fun being in the live asking questions and being through it. So obviously you can watch them all back, but if you pay for it and you want to be part of the live and get some more, because it was the thing, I think a lot of people, because obviously we're doing this course for the first time. So we have no idea how quickly people are going through it. So we're just presuming, we've set a schedule out thinking this is what we would like people to do. But I hazard a guess that 80% of the people who are doing it are behind. Not behind, they're behind the schedule that we thought would happen. So therefore, they've got a reading week this week to catch up. If you didn't realize that, if you weren't alive, you've got a reading week to catch up if you want to. But jump in the live, Jesus Christ, because we're not going to be like, I'm not going to go lecture by lecture, lesson by lesson. What did you learn? It's literally just a chat, Q&A, and then we do some activities as a group. So lovely. But Zan, this is a lad who used to work with me, and he said, long time listener, first time caller. What would you be doing if you were not a personal trainer or coach? I was like, I never really get asked that.
Oh, good question.
It's a good question, isn't it? Because it's been a long time since like pre-uni.
I never thought I'd do anything else other than, well, I was obviously sports science, which I'm assuming counts as the same fucking thing, we're going to say. Yeah. I think I would have...
So when you were sitting down with your connections advisor in year 11?
I fucking knew, mate. I knew at year 11. That's the thing. Like, I think if I wasn't doing what I'm doing, again, based on... It's different, though. Based on what I know now, what I would want to do or what I would do is different to what I would probably have done when I was at school. When I was at school... I probably would have gone down something to do with maths. Like I was pretty good at maths. Whether that would have been financial, whether that would have been like economics, whether that would be more like accountancy or something like that. I reckon it would have been that. Again, computers. I used to be quite good at computers even when I was younger. So it would have been something like that. Knowing what I know now, I would probably like to do something like copywriting or again, like it would probably be somewhat to do with maths and spreadsheets and accounting, something like that. Cause I find that quite easy to get my head around. Mm. Numbers and equations and things like that. And probably maybe something in computers. Cause again, I kind of find it quite straightforward. But I never wanted to be anything else. I knew that. The other thing I thought of recently actually was that I'd really like to give back a little bit and run like a football team or something. I don't know why it crossed my mind the other day. I was just like, it'd be quite cool just to be like, I don't know, just help out, do something like that. And so it's always been coaching or helping people in some way anyway. So I don't know. What about you? I bet you'd have been like a dentist or something, like a vet.
No.
Like your sister.
Vet. No, my sister's a vet, so can't be that. Can't have two of those in the family. Jesus. No, when I was sitting down with my connections advisor, I had a few things. So similar to you, maths was the thing. I did two maths GCSEs, so maths and statistics, and I did maths A levels, so maths and further maths. So I was like full in, full potato mm-hmm. into maths. Not because I enjoyed it, FYI, because I was good at it. I didn't like it, but I'm going to say I was one of the annoying pricks that could kind of sit there, do an exam of maths and just get probably 98%. But just on the fact of maths is black and white, that it's right or it's not, which was what my brain could compute. Just on the flip side of that, guys, I'm sounding big-headed, I was fucking terrible at English. As soon as I got my C's in English, I ran for the hills. I'm awful at languages, and I would never be anything at copywriting. I hated English comprehension. I can't spell for crap, hence why I have people look at my work. And Luke goes, you can't spell at all. And that's coming from Luke Johnson. The guy can't speak. So I'm terrible at that. But maths, I can get, like, I can do stuff in my head and it's absolutely fine. I was like, oh, how do you do that? But then, it was maths, and I always thought I'd go into engineering. So I was always thought.
I've just realised, Tom, I forgot the most obvious answer. I'd be a basketball player. Of course,
you'd
I would
be a basketball player.
Yeah, you'd be a footballer. Yeah, a golfer. What do you know about? That's what I do. Yeah. Cool.
All right, possible jobs. So I was engineering. But if you look at my A levels, so maths, and then I did obviously sports studies. I did biology and I did music. So I might have done music. So little fact, I play the violin, the guitar, a little bit of piano, not that well. I had to sing in like multiple orchestras as I was growing up, all the way to the age of 18, a little bit too much there, and play drums. And I used to be in two bands and two orchestras. Yeah. So yeah,
What did I do for my levels? What did I do? I did PE, biology, and psychology. So there you go. Perfect for personal training, really.
Yeah, you're perfect for personal training. We had to do biology and sports studies or PE, didn't we, to get into uni, essentially. We had to do those two.
I nearly failed my biology. Like, I got a D in my biology at A level. So I needed three Bs to get in, and I got two Bs and a D. And it was the first year, I think, when we were going, or certainly we were told this at school, that they would actually start looking at the individual modules rather than your overall grade. They would look at each individual module as well. And basically, the way my modules went, I think it includes A level and AS level, doesn't it? And based on the six modules you did. And I basically got A's and B's in all my modules except plants. And I got an F. And I fucking hate plants. I fucking hate everything. So I think they looked at it and went, actually, yeah, that's fine, because I was going to do sports science. And but that one module pulled my whole grade down. Like, everything else was fine. That's like the crazy physics. So like because even within biology, you still have the elements of physics and all those sorts of things that go on within the human body. You know, I think it was like human body, atmosphere, and all this sort of stuff. But then it was the plants that just fucked me massively. I was just like, I couldn't get my head around it. I just didn't care about them. I didn't give a shit. Sorry, vegans, but I didn't give a shit about them. Because you had to know like everything about them, like everything about like the internal. I just couldn't fucking do it. And I was just lucky that year, I think that so I got onto the course, even with two B's and a D, I got onto the course. Yeah. I went home crying, thinking I wouldn't get in. So I went to get my exam results, got them, fucking bored my eyes out, got home, checked the UCAS thing, and they were like, you've been accepted. And I was just like, oh, fuck for that.
See, I did the inverse. I checked my UCAS before I checked my results. Because as soon as I knew I was in, I couldn't give a shit about my results.
I don't know if we were told, if I checked and they weren't ready, or if we were told that you couldn't, or if it was a certain time. I can't remember. I think I had to leave to go to school before they were uploaded, probably, or something like that. It was.
Yeah, you wouldn't have left to go to school because it's always in like August time, isn't it? So consistently.
No, but I mean to get the results, you fucking idiot. Right. I don't mean like to go to school.
every single time there was a results day, my family being the one, and my mom's a teacher, so she's full fucking well know when results come out. Every single time I have results, we were always on holiday. Every single time. So I was never there live. So I never went to one of those results day things. like to go get your results for everybody. I was like, I couldn't think of anything worse to go like, ah, oh, people running up to you, what you get, what'd you wear, yeah. what'd you get? And I'm like, I'm not a nerd like you. I didn't get free A's. Talking to my sister there, FYI. Perfect straight A student, GCSEs and A-levels. Nerd. Absolutely fine. Right, we did have some. We had some questions from the live, and I just thought I'd get Dan's kind of thing. Just realizing that I'm not completely gospel in what I'm saying, but this was one of my modules. So if he doesn't agree with me, he's wrong. Right,
sounds about right.
No, well, a couple of them are like long-winded though. That's the only thing. That was an interesting one. So obviously you kind of know my like movement continuums and stuff like that. So continuums of movement, and I've got like probably 10 to 15 exercises depending on what you do. And it's not like that's not expansive. We could go far more, and we explained that yesterday. Explain the whole artistry of coaching, and I wanted these people to think about where they should be on these. But where would you put machines on the movement continuum? For example, where would a chest press machine fit on a horizontal push continuum?
Nearer the beginner side of things rather than the more advanced. Less things to think about, less stabilization required, more focus on target muscles, target movements, that kind of thing. Plus, the stronger someone is, if you get them doing machines, they will then more likely to feel more comfortable if they were then in a more unstable position. Yeah. Would be my... the other thing I would say to someone to think about that logically, without just giving them the answer, think about when, if you're rehabbing an injury, and think that sometimes before you go to, again, it's from football, before you go to putting it into a whole compound movement, you sometimes strengthen one muscle in isolation because it's that weak from the injury. So that's where machines can be really beneficial. And I think they get fucking obviously crucified, don't they, machines at the best of times. But
yeah,
the reason why that they're used in rehabs and stuff like that, and why I think they go to that end of the continuum, is because it's predictable. It's safer, correct. Predictable, exactly stable. Yeah. If someone can't do that, you know that they can't even progress further than that. Like they can't, yeah. They're not strong enough. They're not able. They're not, you know, fit enough, whatever it might be. You would put them right near the start.
I'm not saying that you can sit on a machine to become the most stable, predictable person, because as soon as I throw in something other stimulus, you're going to be fucked because you won't have with what I would team as a compensatory pattern and compensatory musculature. So the muscles that say when you're going through a leg press, you're just going to be going up and down. It's so predictable. It has to move through that mechanism. It cannot do anything else. Yet when you go for a squat, you have to organize yourself particularly and compensate in certain ways to be able to go down through certain muscle groups. So there's lots of different forces happening on which different joints. So every single movement without a machine is actually probably multiplanar. Like it goes through every plane of motion in some way or capacity, whereas the other one, machines just don't, right? They don't. Perfect, Daniel. This one's a little bit specific to the course because it said, when I talk about building training templates, what exactly do I mean? Do you mean everyone on a 3-day body split will have different exercises? For example, A1 squat, A2 pull, A3 carry, where they fall in the movement continuum would determine where they squat and pull movements are. That's a bit of a long-winded question. I just explained it in the thing. Cool. Number one, what are your thoughts on suitcase loaded squats and suitcase kettlebell deadlifts? Would you recommend them and where?
They're all right. Yeah. Like someone who's got stability issues, or you know, they're certainly core stability issues. If you know that they've got issues there and control in that area of their body, can be useful to a degree because it's offset.
Angle, because I was like, I took it as suitcase loaded like deadlifts only being two, but I guess it could.
I call that farmers. That would be far. I always think suitcase. You don't carry two suitcases; you carry one. Yeah. So I always go suitcase.
That's weird because if I say suitcase, but I wouldn't say, oh, you're going to farmer's hot, like load this split squat. I would say two suitcases, but I wouldn't go, it's a two suitcase carry. I would say it was a farmer's carry. So my vernacular is all wrong. I have to change the whole course now, Dan.
So no, like in that context, if it's double, I mean, I probably wouldn't like do it too much. Like so I just don't. There's no real benefit of putting your hands by your side that it's not really going to help. Whereas if you're doing it one, then that's different. That is a bit different. So it depends on that. So using your example, Tom, of your vocabulary, I'd be doing normal variations of said movement.
But now I'm worried that it was the other way and it was suitcase to one side. So a unilateral base.
If it was unilateral based, then yes, they do have their place again up to a certain weight and up to a certain point, and then it becomes a bit more like, well.
But obviously, through our these guys know we have offset work in there, which would happily probably supplement that instead of. So the B stance work would probably be better than the suitcase deadlift. But there are I've seen Tony Gentlecord do suitcase deadlifts. They just always look really awkward to me.
And the other thing as well is they do feel awkward as well, but it's with the right weight, you can feel that they're getting you to think about, and I hate saying this word, but there's no real words, but fire up, you know, but they get your body feeling certain areas and differences. Like I do it in my warm-ups sometimes. Justin puts me in my warm-ups and stuff like that. But I wouldn't use it as a main lift. Like I wouldn't be tracking my weight lifted on it and anything like that. I'd be like doing it as a warm-up. Again, practicing a movement, getting someone to think about what they're doing as they do the movement, but I wouldn't be having it as a main lift in my programming, and I wouldn't even consider it. And if I was ever doing it, it would be a warm up or supplementary lift if someone was really, really shit with their core and their stability in general.
And didn't have that
like, or some people don't have that coordination to be able to do it. Do you know, they just don't have that, and that's why I'd practice that sort of thing. But
fair enough. Lovely. I was just like the two like the farmer's squat or the two dumbbell squat. It just looks like shit. It just looks awful.
Yeah, it just looks shit. I don't get it. And when you try it yourself, it doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right at all because your knees get in the way. You're like, I want a little bit of varus, and you're just like, you're making it go just straight forwards. It's really strange. Then how would you go about regressing clients without disappointing them? So I found a couple of times that clients can get disheartened when you're trying to something and then you have to regress there on the spot.
I'm going to be really harsh and I'm going to say that I think that's usually the fault of the trainer for rushing through things.
I think if
that happens, it's probably because they haven't mastered the previous one. And if you haven't mastered the previous one, why are you pushing them onto the next one? Like, it shouldn't be a race to get to the top. It should be that they completely master it and you're looking at it going, this is far too fucking easy for you right now. And if it's far too easy for them, the next one up shouldn't be that difficult, if you know what I mean. Like, you have a few little tweaks and they should get it. Like, so if you've rushed through that, again, I don't know. That would be my first assumption, is that you've rushed through it. And the other thing I would say, knowing the continuums and knowing those sorts of things and how Tom's talked about, but also we've talked about them together all the time, is it, the continuum isn't about making, it's not about an exercise that's more difficult than another exercise based on intensity. It's based on the mechanics or the movement involved. So you can still fuck someone up doing a really easy exercise. Like when I say that, I mean like in the best sense of the word.
I
can get someone's quads pumped to fuck with a goblet squat. You don't need to back squat. You don't need to do it. Like you don't need. It's more about the capability of the person. Like so, it doesn't affect the session. Do you see what I mean? So like, I think from that point of view, it's looking at it differently and going, yeah, but the continuum is based on a movement, the advanced nature of the movement, not on how hard the movement is and how hard the session can be.
Yeah. Because I use the thing of like a split squat, right? And I will hazard a guess that most people have probably, and us included, jumped through to rear foot elevated Bulgarian split squats, whatever you want to call them, without really overloading a normal basic split squat properly.
Yeah.
And really fucking putting some load through that. Like I'm talking like holding 230s, 235s, or 40s in both
with
hands,
the pause.
And split squatting that like to fuck, and realizing that's probably getting me as much benefit and is more stable, and you're able to do it than jumping through to the Bulgarian split squat when they're not able to reach full range.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing that I think that happens. Maybe they do the split squat, they load them to maybe a 15 to 20 kilo goblet, and then they're like, all right, good, we're in a Bulgarian now. It's like, are we? Why have we decided that? Why have we gone there? Like, surely we go, all right, they've got 20 kilo here, and then you can go 20 kilo each side on a suitcase. Like, that's my progression. So
yeah, I think it's just that rush of a PT to try and get their clients to what they consider the best movements, but not the best movement for that person.
Were you waving at my girlfriend?
Yeah, she walked past it.
Yeah, okay.
She waved.
I was like, I'm not saying anything particularly funny, and Dan's smiling. Yeah.
And I think that's the key thing that I would stress to any trainer. Like you found when you went to see Mike Boyle, right? Is it's not that like he's got all his athletes at like doing the fucking hardest exercise in the world. If anything, it's the other way. If anything, it's like, no, stick with the middle shit and like that, get and nail that. Like again, I did a goblet squats. Do that with 50 kilos. Start doing 10, 12 reps of that, and then tell me that person isn't ready for a back squat. And they will be. Of course they will be. But if they've done a 20 kilo goblet squat for sets of five for two sessions in a row, don't assume they're going to go back squat. Like, don't rush them through that and go for a front squat. Again, it's hard. Could even just be their wrist position can't get there. Like, it's not even anything to do with the squat necessarily. That's just that their flexibility's not there. And again, like, that's something to consider. And I think it's that's for me. I think it's important not to rush. The amount of times I have conversations with clients, I'm like, yeah, so on your next training plan, things aren't really changing hugely. Just a few little tweaks here and there. And they're like, oh, I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that. I'm like, no, but it's been 12 weeks. Like, it's not fucking, you're not turning to fucking, you know, powerlifter overnight. Like, it's basics done well over time. There's nothing magic about these movements. And if you're ever like unsure about whether a client can go and do the next one or not, stay where you are. Stay where you are.
Stay where you are. Like, load them up. Fuck it. Don't be scared about that. Do a simpler movement and shove some fucking weight on it. My advice. Don't go, I'm going to make this movement super complicated and add a twist and all this overhead ball crap.
But also as well, like with that, I would also ask the question of how your client knows that you've progressed an exercise and then regressed it. My clients wouldn't know. I wouldn't tell them.
Yeah, most of mine don't have a clue.
They'd be like, they'd go from split squats to Bulgarians and they'd go, oh, can we go back to these split squats? These are really hard. Like, no, you can do it. Like, do you know what I mean? They wouldn't know that's the harder one on the continuum. It'd just be like, okay, we're doing split squats today. Why? Because all the benches are taken and I can't bother to wait, so we'll just do split squats. Because I know you can do that and I know what weight you're lifting with it. Like that can be the reasoning. They don't know that you've regressed them. Like, that's the thing. I think it's also making sure you tell your clients that, look, this isn't a progression, it's just a different exercise.
I think I did that today. They were like, didn't you say we were going to do that? I was like, yeah, but that's all the way over there and I really can't bother to walk over. I was just we're going to do two things here and we'll put that in the next bit.
It's similar to like the question about the training templates though, because there's to a certain degree as well, once you start training people, it is just you're doing a unilateral squat. And you know the data, you know your client, you've got all the information. You're like, yeah, we're going to do split squats today, not Bulgarians. Next week we'll do Bulgarians.
Yeah, sorry.
It's the same fucking movement, the same skills and same things are programmed and same things are trained. It's just slightly different how you do it. And I think that's the key thing to remember is that most people, when we say stick to the plan and all that sort of stuff, whether if you did a 6 weeks, 12 week plan, and you did split squats, then you did rear foot elevated, then you did front foot elevated, and you transitioned them over the 3 weeks, every single week for 12 weeks, every single one of those movements is getting stronger. It's not specific to that. You know, when people say keep them the same so they get stronger over time, those three movements are the same pretty much. Like, you're going to get stronger by doing each one of those. So don't confuse it. Again, this thing, people try and go too specific with certain stuff. I'm like, dumbbell curls. Well, I overloaded them and I didn't do them for 12 weeks. It's like, you can do a cable curl. It's fine. You're still going to get stronger on all the others. It's the curl movement. And I think people lose that a little bit with it as well. They think that their plans have to be perfect. And again, they look around the gym, can't go on the back squat. Oh shit, what are we going to do? Do any other squat movement, it's fine. And that's the thing that trainers need to get better at, is thinking on their feet with that sort of stuff. And that's where you use the continuums as well, right? Is you know where you sit within that, you know where those things are. Bit of a tangent there, but useful.
That's right, mate. And then last one was to correct a shift with an asymmetric loading. Would you load on the side they shift to or the side they shift from?
Would depend on the movement, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so I gave the advice of just try it, see what one looks better.
Yeah,
because yeah. I was like, basically, I was like, because it sort of depends on how that client's like already fired up and without, you know, without how active they are in certain bits.
And it would also depend on the amount of load they're lifting, because some people have an asymmetric shift, or they have a shift, sorry, to one side when the load gets too heavy. Actually, at lower level of loading, they're fine. They look great. In warm-ups, people can look great, and then you give them a bit more weight, and they're like, oh, shit. And that can be sometimes a sign as well, that it's maybe just a bit too heavy for them, things like that. Their body will just naturally do things that it wants to do to avoid discomfort.
Breaking,
basically.
So under light loads, I would tend to be like, oh, just find... Really, it's normally the contralateral pattern. So offset it on the side that they're not leaning towards, so you overload the other side.
They're shifting from,
They're drifting from. But there could be, and also there's plausibility of feeding the dysfunction, like with the band stuff, pulling them into the shift so they have to fight against it, or you can pull them away from the shift so it looks better. So it's like, it's actually both is the answer to that. And I think people want it more black and white than that. And it's like, no, you have to load this up. No, I'm like,
I think people
see what looks better, from my opinion.
I think people forget as well that you can experiment with this stuff. Like,
yeah, clients, 100%.
You can like try it, like do one set on this side, one set on this side, and then assess and go which one was better. Could they have learned more from doing it twice? Arguably, but you'll know, and you'll be able to then look at it. Well, for this client, it's
still day with when I progress my clients to, because Dan knows this, I actually prefer when I'm doing the first like bouts of split squats, when they're doing one suitcase load, I actually prefer it on the outside of the front leg. So they're shifting their rate over to that side. So they're in internal rotation on that hip. But most people put it into the gap. But I will quite happily, if I program three or four sets, I'll be like, the first set, you then do it this side. And the second set, you then do it this side. And I'm going to see which one looks better.
Yeah.
It's not a crazy, crazy thing. Yeah, you're going to get more like abductors on one side and more adductors on one set than the other. Like, they're not going to fall down and break like and completely start crying. I'm just like, just see which one looks better. Like, absolutely, absolutely fine. It'd be like when you, I think it just happens on unilateral stuff as well, because I'll be like, all right, when I want you to like dumbbell press single arm, I'll be like, I want you to try one with your arm like up and then one with your arm on your hip. And I just want to see which one I think looks better, just to find that mechanism. So yeah, because there are differences. So interesting. I think people get, once they start learning about asymmetries and asymmetric shifts, we did it. We're like, I've got to pull that band. I've got to pull them out of that dysfunction. Now I've got to pull them back into it. I'm like, it's fine. Don't become that person who, like, we obviously made jokes about just like you're banding them like to hell and pulling them around like a dog around the gym. So yeah, crazy.
Sometimes it's just repetition as well. People just, it's the first time they've tried things. Like they can be as simple as that. You just need to do 40 reps first.
As the PTC know, mate, there's two types of dysfunction. There is a coaching dysfunction and a mechanical dysfunction, and 80% of them are coaching. They have not been told correctly. And guess where you can learn that coaching? Do the PT call. So last thing, Mr. Daniel, what would it take for someone to eat 8,000 calories per day and then be an Olympian? What kind of foods would they have to eat? What kind of training? How much training do you think they're doing?
I reckon there is going to be a fair amount of liquid calories. You're probably looking at a fair amount of milkshakes, things like that, dairy products, shakes added to stuff. You're going to be adding oil to quite a few things. Probably quite high in fats, that diet, because it's calorie dense, easy to get in, nuts, avocados, oils added to stuff. Like I said, full fat yogurt, full fat, you know, things like that. Salmon, probably a hell of a lot of salmon. And then it's going to be breads, white rice, white sort of carbs rather than brown, less fiber. That's it, really. Just a lot of it, a fucking lot of it. You know? Like, it's simple as that, isn't it? But there'll be some probably treat foods in there as well. There'll probably be some chocolate and there'll be some, you know, cereal bars. There'll be easier things to eat like that as well. There just has to be to get 8,000 calories in a day. Just has to be. Pastries, potentially, that kind of thing at breakfast, sort of pad out those meals. So if you're going to have, I'd imagine something like that would probably split it into six meals of 1,500. Is that the right maths? No, 1,250, something like that. It'd be six meals of around that. It would be spread fairly evenly through the day as soon as they wake up, probably before they go to bed as well. Four meals then during the day, in and around training, probably. Have you got his actual diet in front of you? Is that why you're like...
No, I've got his diet in front of me.
You don't know his actual thing. That's the way it would be done. Like, you'd have to. Like, again, 1,000 calories in a wanna is a lot. You can't have too much fiber within that. You know, dried fruit might be in there as well. Have fun with it, mate, basically. But someone like that, again, like, you've got to remember with swimmers... is that they also have a certain amount of body fat percentage that they actually need as well from buoyancy point of view. Like, it's really hard balance to strike with that. I remember when Michael Phelps was, you know, his diet when the Olympics was on hit the headlines, didn't it? I don't know if you've got, you know, find his or anything, but
So it's interesting, yeah. I've got his thing. When I'm in full training, it doesn't really matter what I eat because I'm burning everything. Mm-hmm. So the quality of intake doesn't have to be too high. So you just fucking eat everything in you can. pretty much. But he's saying when he's racing, so when he's training, he eats fucking everything. But when he's racing, he changes. And he goes about food quality. So better quality, like meats and so like chicken, salmon, sea bass. Stuff like that, maybe some corn, and then he goes, he doesn't drink milk as well, so he only drinks like soy.
Wow.
So that's pretty tough. So because milk could be a really easy one to get your liquid calories up, and pumping that. So it's interesting.
But basically, during training, he eats McDonald's. Basically, is what you're saying.
Basically,
he just eats McDonald's. It's easier.
Yeah,
it's interesting though, because actually, you could argue that is fucking pointless. Because when he's training, he's arguably needing more of the nutrients than when he's racing.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, with the race, you've done the hard work. Like, it's just, you've just got to do it. And the nutrients and everything he's talking about, food quality, may be more beneficial during training when it's more intense, probably pushing yourself to the limit a little bit more. As races, is like, you're taking it easy pretty much, tapering for the event. That's just an interesting thing to think about with that.
Lovely. Drinks 5 liters of water per day from the pool, probably. So,
absolutely. Oh, God. Can you imagine having to drink that much water after having been in it all that time?
Yeah, been in it all the time. You're like, ugh. Weird. But yeah, he's a bit of a unit, isn't he? Always think about that. Yeah. High-end athletes are like, there's always one that's better than everybody. And it's like, these guys are the best in the world at what they do. And he is that much better than everybody. Insane.
Crazy, isn't it? I wonder what S&C stuff they do.
I don't know. I did remember seeing one spoof one. It wasn't if it was a spoof. It was like a guy in the gym, and then he's got like a dumbbell laying on a bench, and he's got a dumbbell doing the front curl. And I'm like, that is specificity, hands down. I don't know. I guess it's a lot because he's a 50 and 100 meter, right? He's doing a hell of a lot of power, but then that's up to like 50 seconds, right? That he's racing for. So there's a little bit of anaerobic capacity there. Fair bit, so he's gonna be doing that, but then it's like there's a lot of gliding, so he doesn't have to hold his body weight very much, so it's not the same as running, so it's a weird one. Yeah, a hell of a lot of anaerobic capacity, power, and then a lot of, what's he doing, breaststroke, a lot of cable pulls, lots of flies, that kind of thing, right?
Specificity, mate.
I'm gonna guess 80% of it is similar to what we fucking do, and he has a little bit of plyometric power and stuff like that, though, that we don't really know what's going on. People don't realize that. What, 80% of the same? Yep, believe it or not.
yeah. He's doing arms and delts as well. Don't worry about it.
Definitely. Have you seen the size of him? Massive. All right. Any other business?
Not from me.
Not from me. All good. Daniel, enjoy the rest of your week off. If you're Daniel's client, do not do not under any circumstances message him. He will not return it. if you've made it this far into the show, well done. You can message me and I will ignore you as well. Wonderful.
Yeah, all right. Tom ignores everyone anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah. I usually do like one day a week where I'll just scroll through messages and just like reply to them all and then not reply to them for like a week. If you catch me on a good day and I'm particularly bored, I will reply to you normally. I don't know. It seems like admin to me. I don't know why. In my head, it's like social media admin. And I'm not big on social media, but still get questions. I'll quite happily answer them, but just expect a couple of days delay.
Yeah. Massive delay for Tom.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
See you in a bit.